where did he find it? Hosea chapter 5. There's a bigger one someplace. Okay. Somebody, you want to use that one? Yeah, grab that one. Is that big enough?
Hopefully.
Yeah. And if that's too small, we have another sheet too that may be helpful.
That'll work.
Yeah, is that bigger? Good.
Yeah,
all right, so, good.
We got the one eye to see.
Yeah, and you have to have big print.
Glasses.
So, the book of Hosea. As you know, we've been studying through the book of Hosea for this is the fifth sermon we've had in the book of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet of God. As God's prophet, we know that he was supposed to do what God wanted him to do. He was supposed to take the word that God gave to him and then pass it on to the people of Israel. As you know, the nation of Israel was divided in two sections. It was divided in the north and in the south. Shortly after Solomon left the throne, the kingdom was divided in two groups. The 10 tribes of the north and the 2 tribes of the south. All these, this whole nation was segmented in two groups. And God was faithful in preserving the two nations of the south because of David. God had made a promise to David. A promise to David that even still exists today. That's why the scripture teaches there is a future for Israel. There is a future for Israel. See, there is a distinction from the Israel of the Old Testament and of the church of the New Testament. There is a distinction. And the prophet Hosea, as if you want to see who he, just as a way of a quick review, the prophet Hosea, he was prophesying, look, Hosea 1:1, in the reign of, in the days of Uzziah, Ahaz, and also of Jeroboam, that's Jeroboam II, and this is the time period when he's prophesying. Probably his prophecies took place, if you want to use a round number, you could go 800 B.C., you maybe make it to 725 B.C., maybe 750 B.C., so somewhere between 750 years before Christ to 800 years before Christ, or 800 to 750 B.C., is when his prophecy took place. And their captivity took place, 718 B.C., that is the Syrian captivity, 718 B.C., or if you want to make it easy to remember, 700 B.C. 18 years, you know, this is really, in the big picture, is not that big of a difference, but get the big number, 700, first in your mind, and then fine-tune it later on, if you have to. But this is the time period Hosea's prophecy. And as you know, prophets prophesy something that hasn't happened yet. And so, again, Hosea's work in ministry deals with the 10 northern tribes. And the 2 southern tribes are observing what is happening. But it's essentially the focus of the prophecy of Hosea is to the 10 tribes of the north. Now, the children of Israel, the 10 tribes in chapter 5 are told to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. Now, sometimes when we look for something, we know we've misplaced it. That's why we look for it. Now, unfortunately, the children of Israel, many of them, had failed to realize that they had lost contact with Jehovah. When we see the Lord in all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in our New Testament, we know that's referring to Jehovah. They had lost contact, but yet they were told to seek. And see, today, we must seek God too. We must seek Him for small things in our life and the big things in our life and everything in between. We must try to have a continual fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1 tells us about how we can have fellowship with God. He wants us to have fellowship with Him. In fact, that's what God created Adam, created Eve, so that He would be able to have fellowship with Him. Now, we should seek the Lord, because God promised to take care of us. God has promised to take care of us. Look at how He takes care of the creation. Last night I was I was outside last night. I'll get to the other outside later on, perhaps. I was outside last night, and I was sitting in the chair. It was dark outside, and all of a sudden, these three, I knew what they were called last night, possums or some type of animals. Raccoons, yeah, they were. Thank you. Raccoons. Three of these raccoons, they got, you know, they were big, like, big one, little, you know, three different, like, steps, you know, they were big, big, medium, and small. You know, papa, mama, and baby, raccoon. They walked right along, you know, right, maybe 20 feet away from me. So I saw them. The point of me bringing up the raccoons is, who takes care of those raccoons? Who knows? God provides for those raccoons. He provides for the raccoons, doesn't he? They don't have to go out and, I mean, he gives them what they need. And so if we turn briefly to Matthew chapter 6, and God, see, Israel has failed to realize that God would be providing for them. And so they went off and seeking gods made out of wood. God's made out of wood. God's made out of stone. God's made out of something that was an inanimate object. That was so crazy in their part. Molten images. That's who Israel was seeking their advice from. But in Matthew chapter 6, this is part of Christ's Sermon on the Mount, but Matthew chapter 6, we're reminded how God can provide for us. Just like those raccoons, God provides for them. It's right here in Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not your life more than your meat, and your body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more much clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And you see, Israel, they got off. These 10 tribes in the north, and eventually ultimately the ten tribes of the south, pardon me, the two tribes of the south, they got off on their objective. You know, they were not understanding that God could provide for them. They were not seeking God. See, seeking God, that's put on the top of the list. Here Christ says, seek, but seek ye first. It's at the top of the list. The first, if you make a list of things, sometimes you make a list of things to do, and you may revise your list and so forth, but there are things that are more important than other things on the list you make of things you want to do. It may be things you want to do in a particular day, in a particular week, particular month, or even in a particular year, but there are certain things that are to take a priority. And seeking the Lord first must be a priority. And you see, the book of Hosea reflects to us that Israel did not seek the Lord. In fact, Hosea had to tell them, we'll find out in this passage, to seek the Lord. All throughout the prophets, all throughout the Old Testament, we find Israel going through a kind of a cycle of being in fellowship with God, getting out of fellowship with God, God being punishing them, and then God restoring them to fellowship. And so that's the cycle that we go through. I mean, we know they went through it, and we are, you know, we have the same color of blood they have. And so, we have to understand that. And see, these things in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, the Bible tells us we're reading for our examples. There's something we can look at and learn from. And you see, in the book of Hosea, we learn that they were not seeking the Lord. We must also seek the Lord because He is near. That's another reason. See, they failed to put their prayer, they failed to seek the Lord first. They failed to realize that God would take care of them. Those 10 tribes of the north. They failed to realize that. And they also failed to realize it, that God was so close. God was so close to them. They didn't understand that. Although they may have been told it, but they were following after those strange gods. Those gods of wood, of stone, and of metal. Gods that could not see, gods that could not hear, gods that could not smell. In the book of Isaiah, another prophet, the book of Isaiah, which the ministry of Isaiah and Hosea had a bit of an overlap, but in Isaiah chapter 55, we're reminded of this principle, that God is near. And you see, God was near to them. You know, God wanted to provide for their needs, and God wanted to get them. Israel was a stubborn group of people. Just sometimes I can be a stubborn person. Well, Israel was a stubborn group of people. And we don't want to be stubborn when it comes to things of when it comes to the obedience of what God tells us to do. If God is directing us to do something, if God is pointing us in a certain direction, then we must be able to, and we must be willing to listen and obey what He is doing. But in Isaiah chapter 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given you for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. For ye shall go with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break forth before you with into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for the name, for an everlasting sign that shall be cut off." You see, the Lord was present. The Lord wanted to take care of the children of Israel. And as I said, Isaiah here, they were to seek the Lord because God promised to take care of them. They were to seek the Lord because He is near. Now, one thing we must remember, ever since we violated God's command in Eden, sin has been present with us. And we notice the foolish 10 tribes on the earth, how they worship wood and stone and a metal. You know, they were wrong to do that. They were wrong to pursue after those false gods. You know, they were just as wrong to follow after the idolaters, idols, as we are wrong today. They didn't realize the condition of being dead in trespass and sin. There are countless number of people today that are in that condition of being lost in their spiritual life. They are dead in their trespasses and sin. And so that's one group of people. Now the other group of people is those people who have been given the truth of the gospel, the people who have accepted the truth of the gospel. Here, Israel, they are God's chosen people. God chose them, and they were able to be a witness to God's miraculous work. And the testimonies of generations to come was telling them all these things. I mean, in the book of Ephesians, chapter two, it tells us. Scripture reminds us how the condition about being dead in trespasses and sin, but it also gives us the promise and hope of being quickened, being made alive. But you have to be quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's what God has done for us. And see, God worked with the people of Israel, and that's talking about us in the church today. But the idea of bringing us, the church, into the message is because we can fall victim to the same sins, the same apathy as the children of Israel did. The children of Israel, they got astray. The nation of Israel found herself in a horrible condition because of their stubbornness, because of her sin, because of her rejection of knowledge. The 10 tribes of the north certainly depict a sinner on the rampage. The question could be asked in today's church: is today's church learning anything from the poor example of Israel? Look for a moment in Galatians chapter 6, and eventually, Lord willing, we will get to some verses in the book of Hosea, but this is kind of giving a background of the character of these people. Galatians chapter 6, and it's the character of ourselves as well, in many cases, many times. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, you know what Israel was sowing? They had sown wickedness, and they were reaping what they had sown. God is not mocked. God, as we see, God is very long-suffering. He's very, 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 very caring. But Israel was sowing wickedness. Israel was sowing wickedness. This is the characteristic. This is what they were doing. They were going in the wrong direction. They were going in the opposite direction that God wanted them to go. Now God may want us to go in a certain direction. He may make that very clear in Scripture. And it's our responsibility, once it is revealed to us, to obey what God has us and wants us to do. The Israel of Hosea's day sowed wickedness. They rejected the truth of God's word. Their consecration and desire was on what pleased themselves. The sirens and glitter of the world tempted them and took them to a place that they did not want to ultimately end up. They wanted it, but ultimately their sin had a tremendous consequence. Sin in the life of an individual has a tremendous consequence. Look back when we were in Adam. When we sinned in Adam, that fellowship we had with God was broken. And God told Adam, "You shall surely die." He died physically and died spiritually. And the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin are great. And particularly, we see it how, in for the lost people of the world, they're blinded to God's righteousness. You see, but for those of us who have been redeemed, those of us who are saved, sin too has a problem. Sin too has a consequence. You know, as the Church of Galatia was told, we have to understand that. We have to learn from the examples of the book of Hosea. Because look what tremendous blessing they meant. I mean, going back to earlier days of the time of the children of Israel, when during the time of Moses, God, they sent 12 spies in the land. God, they witnessed God's miraculous hand of deliverance out of the land of Egypt. They saw all the plagues. God fed them. God, he opened up the sea. But yet, when they send the spies and when 10 come back with an evil report, 2 with a good report, they lost a tremendous blessing by rejecting what they should have done. And see, and it was a trend that followed. It was a trend that followed. And a lot of times, you know, we have that they wanted to follow the model and the mold, that they wanted to follow the model of paganism, and they fell into the mold of paganism. This is the children of Israel. This is God's chosen people, the 10 tribes of the north. This is what they did. They went the wrong way. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 reminds us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know, for all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the world. You know, and so, and then also, later on in the passage tells us, we must seek to do the will of God, to remain, to abide in doing what God wants us to do. Never forget the underlying theme of God, of the book of Hosea, is God's mercy. Mercy is God's withholding punishment that is deserved. God was very long-suffering with these children of Israel, these 10 tribes. Very long-suffering. And he's long-suffering with us as well. Today, God also demonstrates his mercy to us. The well-known sin of Gomer, in the book of Hosea, pales by comparison to the sin of idolatry, the sin of wickedness of Israel, by following after false gods. And that is really what the book is talking about. It's talking about the spiritual adultery, the idolatry of this nation Israel. This is the God's chosen people who are following after false gods. They have the true and living God, and yet they want to worship gods of stone, gods of wood, gods of metal. The scripture teaches that sin breaks fellowship with God. We are in Adam when disobey God. And that fellowship is broken. But God is faithful to his promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God wanted his chosen people Israel to seek him in the days of Hosea. God wants the modern day Jew to seek him today. And God wants his church to seek him today. Do not allow sin to take a foothold in your life. We see what happened to Israel when they stopped obeying God's word. And the same thing will happen to us when and if we stop obeying God's word. It would not be wise to disagree with God's judgment. But in the days of Hosea, Israel appeared to have no interest in doing what was wise. They forced the Lord to have a controversy with them. By their disobedience, they forced the Lord to have a controversy with them. They disagreed, as we saw earlier in the book, where there was no truth found in them, there was no mercy found in them, and no knowledge of God found in them. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. The joy had withered in their life. There was no joy. The book of Joel tells us about that. The people in the day of Hosea had the opportunity to have the proper fellowship with God, but they refused to do so. They chose to turn from the living God and serve idols of wood and of stone. They chose to reject the truth in their decision to forsake mercy and to reject knowledge. And the rejection of knowledge destroyed them. When Israel made a deliberate choice, they had to suffer the consequences of God's judgment. And we today, we have choices. Each day, God gives us. And we have to make the proper choice. We have to follow what God wants us to do. The scripture tells us in the book of Hosea and other parts of the Bible, the Old Testament, that sin had permeated the lives of the people of Israel so they could not be satisfied with anything else. That's all they wanted to do. That's all they wanted. But yet still, God wanted to have fellowship with them, wanted to have mercy with them. I mean, as we talked earlier about the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 2, the rules of sowing and reaping. You know, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you see, Israel is a prime example of this. Israel, they had sown wickedness, they had sown evil, and now God is punishing them, and they're reaping what they had sown. God has had to remove them physically, as the Bible will tell us in the book of Hosea, chapter 8, they removed them physically from the world because they had a love for the world. Again, in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's what they were doing. They were loving the world. They had the wrong priority. Hosea warned of the pending punishment of Israel. Although they may have not heard it, they did. Although they may have heard it, they did not listen. There was a warning given. They heard it, but they didn't listen. They didn't heed it. They didn't change what they were supposed to change. They were supposed to change their way they were living, their stain, and the relationship that they had with God. They were supposed to change that. They were supposed to clean it up, and they were supposed to make it proper. They were supposed to make it in line with what the Bible said. They had Old Testament. We have the entire 66 books in Scripture, and we have to make sure the way the church, that is, we that are in the church, we that are believers, when we get out of fellowship with God, we shouldn't continue pursuing evil, pursuing wickedness. We have to make sure that our life lines up with what the Bible says. Now, we will fail. We will have discouragement. We will do things that are, as Paul says, you know, the good that I would do, I do not, and the evil that I don't want to do, that I do. This is Paul. He had the same fight, the same struggle. But the main thing that we must remember is that we have to have an understanding that we want to kind of maintain a close fellowship with God. When there's something that's wrong in our life, when something in our life does not go according to what the Bible says, then we must fix it. We must come in line with the Scripture. We don't want to change the Scripture to meet our standard. No, the Scripture is the ultimate standard. It's the final standard. It's the final measurement. We have to change it. That is, the Bible does not have to change. And so in Hosea chapter 5, hear this, hear ye this, O priests. Now there's three groups of people he's talking to. And we'll see. Here, and these are all imperatives. These are words for here. They're all imperatives. An imperative is a command or request. So he's saying, hear this, O ye priests. That's one group. Hearken, another word for here. Hearken, ye house of Israel. That's another group. So the priests are supposed to hear. Israel is supposed to hearken. And give ear, kind of another word, give ear, O house of the king. For judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah, and spread a net upon Tabor. Now, Mizpah, that's the place, remember, where Jacob and Laban separated. After Jacob served Laban for 20 years, they met, they departed in Mizpah. And there was a spot, and they left. But you see here what Israel was doing? A net and a snare. See, there were three groups of people again. The priests, house of Israel, and the house of the kings. And judgment is coming upon them. Judgment is coming upon them. Condemnation is coming upon them because they laid a snare, like I said, it's a trap, a net, another type of trap. Sometimes I went this past, I guess it was Monday. I went with some fellow. I was someplace, and the guy was fishing. And he's this big. He knows all about different fish. I don't know anything about fish except they have a tail, and, you know, and eyes and scales. And But as far as catching the fish, I wouldn't be able to catch a fish. I never caught a fish. I wouldn't know what to do with them. I mean, I know you chop his head up and you, what they say, you scale them, and then you do a few more things so you could be able to prepare that fish to eat. And so, but he has a lot of, he's kind of, I was with the same guy a few months ago, and we went through a fish market. We went through some place with a fish store, and here's all these fish in this window, and he's caught all the fish in the window except one of them. There's like 10 or 15 different types of fish in this window at this fish store. Well, anyway, the point of my, not to tell this fish story, but as far as the bait, there's all sorts of bait, all sorts of hooks he has, depending on what kind of fish he's looking for. And a hook is a type of trap, a type of snare. And so here, they were laying a trap, they were laying a snare for these people in Mizpah. And they spread a net for those individuals in Tabor. They were, and this is not, they weren't physically trying to catch people. But as far as from a philosophical standpoint, they were causing them to go into wickedness, go into sin, go into the wrong direction. And these are God's chosen people that are doing this. God's people that are doing this. And they says, woe to you. In verse 2, the Bible says, and the revolters are profound to make slaughter. Though I have been a rebuker of them all. Making slaughter. They're going the wrong way. They were not following God's principles. They were not following God's standards. Sadly to say, the nation of Israel was very carnal and very wicked. They had the scriptures. They had the prophets. They were God's chosen people. They had the tabernacle. And this time they had the temple. But yet, they failed to understand. They failed to understand. And because it became a tradition to them. So much to the point of being a tradition to them that when the veil in the temple was rent, you know, when Christ died from the top to the bottom, they sewed it back together again. They were stuck on their tradition. There's a lot of religious organizations in the area, in the world today, that have a lot of tradition, but they're blinded to the truth. See, we have the truth. The Word of God is our standard. The Word of God is our truth. It's a standard that we have. Verse 3, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. Which we know that God is omnipresent. We know those attributes, those special attributes of God. Israel, they're not what they did was not hid from God. He knew it. He knew it even before they did it. But he wanted them to have an opportunity to do the right thing, but they did the wrong thing. God is still omniscient. Even before we were born, even before our grandparents were born, he understood, he knew exactly what we would do, what we would think, how we would behave. He's given us the truth. Now again, there's a distinction between Israel and the church. I'm not saying that we're Israel or Israel is the church or vice versa. But here, Israel, in the focus on what God knows, see, God gave them an opportunity to make a choice. He gave them the will of credence. He gave them the will of decision. And they made the wrong decision. And because of the wrong decision, they would have to suffer the consequences. Captivity in the nation of Assyria. The 10 tribes north were taken captive to Assyria. And then about 70 years later, if you want to think of 100 years later for a round number, two tribes of the south were taken captive to Babylon. It says, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. Whoredom in the sense of spiritual, of going after the wrong God, going after gods of wood, gods of stone, multiple images. They were going the wrong way. Why would they want to ask a piece of wood that they just cut up on some salt or just carved out with a knife and then maybe covered with some metal, some gold or silver? Why would they want to ask that image for any assistance at all? And because of their spiritual adultery, that led them to other physical sins in their life. Other sins. As I stated earlier, I think we see that Israel broken most of the Ten Commandments. Now, keeping the Ten Commandments does not give anyone righteousness. We know that. But still, that's the standard that they completely ignored those ten. I mean, the law was given to us by Moses. God gave Moses the law. And we know that the Christ came to fulfill the law because we knew that the law could not be kept. But yet, they were completely ignoring the God of Israel and turning to the false gods. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredom is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. So you see, they have an opportunity. The word turn. You're familiar with the word turn. With the word, in the New Testament, we know the word repentance, what that means. Repentance means to change your mind. You're going one direction, and you go right the other direction. See, Israel had an opportunity to turn. But they said they would not turn. They would not turn. I mean, there's opportunities. You know, when we drive on a road, in our automobiles or on our bicycles, even when we're walking, there are certain times we have to turn. Now, it's not talking about driving on a road or walking on a road or riding on a road. It's talking about the way they're living. The way that they were living. They were living in a certain way that was contrary to the way that God wanted them to live. And it says, they would not turn. They wanted to keep on going in the direction that they were going. It also says, later on in verse 4, and they have not known the Lord. See, but they're told later on in this chapter that they're to seek the Lord. But they did not want to know the Lord. They have not known the Lord. Again, we have, when God is mentioned, that's the Elohim, that's the creator. We said in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created. But we see they have not known the Lord. And actually, we've talked about this before. But the book of Zechariah seems to indicate, and other passages, but that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. If we remember the passage in Zechariah when the Lord shall descend from him and put his feet upon the Mount of Olives. You know, and so they have not known the Lord. They have not known the redemption of Israel, the redemption of the church, can only be found in Jehovah, can only be found in Jesus Christ. And if someone doesn't know the Lord today, if someone does not understand that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die in the place of humanity, in the place of for you, in the place of me, if someone doesn't know that, they have to look into the Scripture. They have to see that fact that salvation is a way that broken fellowship can be restored. Not only was the fellowship broken in Eden, but also, remember, Adam died spiritually, and we in Adam died spiritually too, and he was going to die physically. You see, you have to understand that if someone continues in the state they are, that is someone today, in a state of rejecting the gospel. And then Jesus says to Thomas, doubting Thomas, in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is the correct answer, and there is no other answer other than that one. Just as we have a math problem, 2 plus 4 equals 6. Well, no other answer is correct other than 6. Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he is the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And Israel here, they failed. They did not want to know the Lord in verse 4. And what's one big reason? A big reason of today's, but many people today are refuse to trust God. It says, and the pride of Israel that testified to his face. You know, we think of a courtroom, we think of a witness that comes in, and here, the pride of Israel, philosophically speaking, is testifying against them. They were so proud and so arrogant that they thought that what they were doing was okay in their own minds, by their own standard. They recreated their own standard, but it was not okay. It was not good. It was not holy. It was not righteous. It was wicked. And their pride testified against them. I mean, that was the, as we all know, Satan, Lucifer, had that problem. He had a pride problem. He wanted to ascend and be like the Most High. He wanted to be like God. He was wrong. Israel was wrong. And anyone today that has pride in their own righteousness, their own good works, is wrong as well. I mean, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's by only by God's mercy. It's not by our righteousness. It's not by our works. And here we have the pride of Israel testifying against them. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. And Judah fell later, it may have been 100 years later, a little less than 100 years later, than they fell. But nevertheless, you would have thought they would have learned from what happened to the 10 tribes of the north. They would have looked and noticed and observed and would have changed what they were doing, the way they were living. But yet, and again, this is still a matter of God's long-suffering, God's mercy, God's grace in doing this. And here in verse 6, they shall go with their flocks and their herds to seek the Lord, but it's too late. But they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. God was long-suffering, and now the punishment is pending. The judgment is coming, and they're going to have to go through a terrible time being carried away into captivity, into Assyria. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they've begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. In other words, their supply is not going to last very long. You know, usually think of a barn or a silo. You can store things away for a whole season, but now it's going to be devoured. I mean, the book of Joel tells us about that, about the, you know, the palm worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar. It tells us about these things. You know, it talks about these different types of these different forms of grasshoppers as well that are going to devour the vegetation. I mean, if we read the book of Joel sometime, I know we talked about it here before, but complete utter devastation of all the vegetation. God is in control of this judgment. He's very deliberate. He's very long-suffering, very patient, but yet Israel was very stubborn, very prideful, very arrogant, and they were heading, and they were in the wrong direction. Blow the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven, after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be desolate. No. Completely deserted, almost, you know, completely ruined, because they're coming down. The Assyrians are coming down and taking them away, and it's not the Assyrians. Yes, God is using the Assyrians, but this is a direct judgment of God. God could have destroyed them all with fire and brimstone, as he did Sodom and Gomorrah, but no, God has a future for them, and he wanted them to learn something, and he wants us to learn something from what is happening to them. I mean, they eventually, if it was, they didn't learn it, the next generation learned it. But again, and we have here the princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. We have the wrath of God being poured out upon them. God, we saw him being merciful. We saw him being long-suffering. And there's a point. And God is merciful. God is long-suffering to us today. Those of us who are his children, those of us that are the believers, those of us who are in the body. But he does not want us to sin. He does not want us to follow after strange gods and to influence and set nets and snares for other people to prevent them from being able to be either come closer to Christ or even for them to be able to hear and understand the gospel. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. In other words, he did kind of completely disregard it. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and the house of Judah as rottenness. A moth. What does a moth do? A moth likes to eat our wool clothes. They may even eat non-wool clothes. I don't know what they like to eat. But every now and then you'll see a shirt or a blouse. It could be a pair of pants, a coat, a tie, whatever it might be. And there's been a moth that's been going after that garment, kind of slowly ruining it. I mean, maybe you could put up with one hole, but after you got, there's a limit to how many holes you could tolerate in your outfit, in your shirt or your clothes. And that's what's happening. There's destruction coming. The promise of destruction, they're being taken away completely. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to the king of Jerob, yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. See, they had a wound. The wound was their wickedness and their sin and their disregard for God's truth. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. Now, I like cats. I mean, but cats are different than lions. I mean, if they're behind the glass, if they're behind the cage, if they're far enough away from me, lions are big cats. But when there's no wall, there's no fence, I'm not really sure if I really like lions, because they probably like me too, in a different way than I like them. I'm not looking to eat the lion. I'm not, unless I was really hungry. Probably tastes like chicken or something. But the lion, he's a carnivorous animal that's going to devour them. And so we have the lion coming after them, we have the young lion coming after them, and the purpose this is representation of God's judgment. God is going to judge. Hosea here is proclaiming the judgment of the 10 tribes of the north, and it says none shall rescue them. No one's going to be able to rescue him whatsoever, because it's the hand of God's judgment. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. See, when we sin, in order to make restoration, we know the word confess. In the New Testament, the word confess, you know, it's made of two words. You know, I guess it's made of two words in English too, but in the language behind the English word confess is the word homo legeo, which means essentially to say the same thing. In other words, and it, the standard of what is being said is what the Bible says. The Bible is the standard. The Bible is what we base it upon. And so when we see what the Bible says thus and such, and we're doing the opposite of thus and such, we say, what I was doing was contrary to thus and such. That's meaning we say the same thing as God. And so we have to say here, they have to acknowledge their offense. And here's where we get the principle of seeking the Lord. They have to seek his face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. See, people are coming to the point, this nation, they had to get to the point of being completely immersed in wickedness. And because of that immersion in wickedness, God brought judgment upon them. And that judgment was leading them, ultimately, to finally wake up. Finally wake up to seek the Lord, to seek his face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. And this was what the condition of these 10 tribes of Israel were. And as I said before, the prophecy of Hosea is not so much about the infidelity of his wife Gomer, but it's about the spiritual idolatry, the spiritual adultery, the wickedness and the sin that was in the hearts, minds, and lives of the children of Israel. It is about the internal and external rebellion Israel had toward everything associated with God's holiness. That's what the book of Hosea is about. They were rebelling and wanted to do their own thing in their own way, in their own time. When God's people fail to obey God, their only remedy is to repent of their sin and to get lined up with what the Scripture says. That is the only remedy. Get lined up with what the Scripture says. Do not let sin destroy your fellowship with God. The Word of God clearly demonstrates to us a proper standard of living and a proper standing we must have with God. We must seek God's face for fellowship and for direction in our lives each day that we live. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we have it in our hands. We do ask that you would allow us to look into the Scripture, the perfect law of liberty. We do ask that we may continue there, and you would show us those things in our life that you want us to change. Thank you for the examples of these events that happened to the 10 tribes of Israel. We do ask that we would not be like they behaved, how they acted. Help us to consider exactly those things in our life that we must change. Cause us to have a desire to seek you and to serve you and to honor you in what we say, what we do, and what we think. We do ask that Jesus Christ would be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.